Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you that we can come and worship you. Thank you that we can worship you with our voices and with our mind. And Lord, thank you that we can worship you through allowing your word to have its rightful place in our understanding and mind tonight. Pray that your word will be exalted, and that, Father, we will consider it wholeheartedly, and that, Lord, your name will be exalted in our midst. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start with a simple question. How is your heart today? It's very important to know. You may not realize this, but you can't live without it. All right? Very important. It has a significant role in your health. A few little facts about your heart. A little tiny heart starts to begin pumping blood just a few weeks after conception in the womb. So it's there pretty well from the beginning. Some other facts about our literal heart that I just got from the internet, so I suspect they're right. Nothing's wrong on the internet. Your heart pumps 30,000 litres of blood every day. That's a lot. Over 100,000 times in a day does it beat. 100,000. Every time your heart beats, it squirts around about half a cup of blood through the valves. Half a cup. You drop half a cup of water or anything on the floor, you realize that's still a fair bit. It takes one drop of blood less than a minute to take a trip through your entire body. So whatever's in your heart, it's going to spread around your whole body very quickly. During an average lifetime, a human heart will beat almost 3 billion times. And so, as you can see, we really need it. And we need it to be working well, to be able to do all that we would like to do. But just as important as our physical heart, we know that the Word of God tells us that there is a spiritual heart. Now, what is that spiritual heart? Well, I guess it's the inner soul of a man or a person. It refers to the center of thinking and includes our emotions. We know that the Word of God, when it talks about this type of heart, it can have emotions and trust. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And so it can trust. It can feel emotions where we're told to love the Lord with all our heart as well. One thing we can be very sure of is God is very interested in our spiritual heart and its condition. Because just like our physical heart, if our spiritual heart isn't working right, it affects every part of our being. And so on Sunday evenings, what I'm going to do is consider the heart in various ways. I don't know for how long, maybe 3 or 4 messages, maybe even longer. I'm going to call it the issues from the heart. And this is important. God's word tells us in Proverbs 4 to keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep there means to stand guard over, to watch over, to preserve and to look out for. And so we are to be on the lookout to guard our heart, and it says with all diligence. So it's not a half-hearted effort here. You put all your effort into making sure that you preserve your heart and keep it safe from the attacks that it will have to come across. And why? Well, as the verse says, for out of it are the issues of life. I get the picture of our physical heart, and whatever's in our physical heart is spread throughout our body, and it affects our entire body. And just like that, so too does our spiritual heart. Our soul will pump whatever is in it throughout our entire being and have a major effect on us. What's within our heart will affect our brain and what we think of and how we view things. What's within our spiritual heart will affect our eyes and what we choose to look at. It'll affect our ears and what we choose to listen to. It'll affect our lips and what we choose to say. Affect our hands and what we choose to do with them. Our feet and where we choose to go with them. What comes out of our spiritual heart affects our entire being and also our body and our life. That's why it's important, God says, to keep it. Care for it. Watch over it with all diligence. It's going to affect every part of our being. Now, it's good to stop and consider what God says about our heart. That's the first thing. We would like to think our heart is nice. But there is that key verse in the Word of God where we're told that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's how God sees our heart. He says our heart is deceitful above all things. I can think of a lot of deceitful people. I can think of a lot of deceitful things. But our heart is deceitful above all. And that means it plays tricks on us and tells lies to us. And that's a very scary thing. You see, to have a deceitful heart doesn't mean that I may know myself that what I'm doing is bad, but I convince everyone else it's good. No, to have a deceitful heart means that our own sinful heart is able to convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay, even when it's not. Now, that's scary. And that's why you can often go to someone who is clearly disobeying God's word, and you can show them what God says about their actions, yet somehow in their own mind they can think that they're not doing anything wrong, even though it's black and white in the Word of God. The reason why that can happen is because they have been deceived by their desperately wicked heart. That's why you can go to the prisons in Australia and meet so many of the inmates, and just about all of them don't believe that they deserve to be there. It's because they have been deceived by their own sinful heart. That's why in so many churches they act and do things that are contrary to the Word of God, but they just can't see it. The heart is deceitful. That's why mankind would like to say that we are not bad, that I can't see that I've done anything that bad that I would miss out on heaven. We like to think that we are basically good. And even though someone may do good things and be nice to people, they don't like to see that interwoven with all those good acts are also these actions of sin in one way or another, where there's pride present or selfish motives for why they do those nice things. Or there's that unrestrained passions and sinful desires that they keep from others. Or there's lies and deceit and the pursuit of self-satisfaction or control. And they push aside all those things and only focus on the good things and convince themselves they're okay. The heart is a very deceitful thing, God says. And that's why when there is something you're not sure about and there is a black and white answer in God's word, go with God's word. It's important. Believe it above yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But he also says that it is wicked. It has evil desires. It's a wicked thing. It has been darkened by sin. Over in Romans 1:21 it says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Our soul, before the light of the glorious gospel of Christ came into us, was a very dark, evil, wicked place. And that's why we shouldn't expect the unsaved to do anything else but the ungodly. Isn't it true that you will hear people talk in a manner or act in a certain way, and it shocks us still that they would act like that. Yet the Word of God tells us that a man's heart, before the gospel shines into it, is a very wicked thing, and we shouldn't expect anything but that. God also tells us that our heart is a very influential thing, and it can defile us. As it says in Matthew 15:18, Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man." We can put so many barriers and hide ourselves from so many potentially wicked things, yet we will still be harassed by sin because we have a heart that is full of sin. And those poor monks who don't have a regenerated heart and they are trying to hide themselves from sinful things, yet they can't escape the most wicked thing of all, that is their own soul. It's impossible. We often think it's the exterior things that defile us, but let's be very sure that it's our sinful heart that spreads throughout our whole body and infects us. And that's why we so easily say the wrong thing, or look at the wrong thing, or listen to the wrong thing, or think the wrong thing. The heart is a very destructive thing when it's not functioning properly. And the good news is, though, God's very interested in every person's heart. He specializes in taking care of bad hearts. Isn't that good to know? You know, if you've got a crook physical heart, you want a specialist who knows just what to do to help fix it. Well, the good news is we have a very terrible heart, but there is a specialist who knows just what we need in order to fix it. And you know, the heart specialist, what he does is when he sees a sinner admitting their sin, calling out to him for salvation and cleansing, the first thing he does is he gives us a new heart. Now, that doesn't mean he gives us a new soul. And I don't know how it all works. It might be just more a phrase, but we do know that there is a newness about us. You know, in the Old Testament, Ezekiel said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh." You know, God was making this promise to his hard-hearted people, the Israelites, talking about the future. Yet in the New Testament, for the New Testament believer, this new heart is referred to as the new nature. We have a new nature. We become new creatures. God does a miracle within us and changes us from the inside out. And he gives us something new and changes us. But his work on as a heart specialist doesn't end there. The Lord's willing to... He's able to renew it daily and to keep it going the way that it should and fix up any problems that come along. You know, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us." Each of us need a renewed heart every day. If we don't, we'll find ourselves slipping and going into places and attitudes that are not godly at all. But let's remember, God can't be fooled. He sees the condition of each one of our hearts this evening. He knows exactly what it's like. That should scare us, but it also should give us some comfort. What I do want to do, though, is take some simple things as a starting point for this idea of considering our heart on Sunday nights, and listen to what the heart specialist says we need to be doing in order to keep our heart with all diligence. He has some advice for us that we would be wise to take heed of, and it correlates very easily with the physical heart, just in case you can't remember it. But the Lord does tell us that we need to exercise. You can turn there, 1 Timothy if you want, chapter 4, if you want to move your fingers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7 and 8, we have these very familiar verses. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Here we're told that we are to exercise unto godliness. If you want to have a good heart and a healthy heart, well then you need to be diligent in godly exercise. And our heart specialist has prescribed a number of ways in order to exercise. And none of these things are new. And I know many churches tried to find new and exciting ways for the Christian to exercise unto godliness. And it reminds me often of those advertisements on TV where you see this wham-bam super new exercising machine that will do everything for you, where basically you can get the full potential of exercise with the littlest amount of effort, and you can reach full capacity of being fit and you hardly have to do anything. And so we think, well, that I want to be fit, but I actually don't want to put any work into it, and so I'm going to buy that and see if it works. Most of us, well, I know I have, I've been sucked into these things, and they don't work. And too many churches have the approach when it comes to spiritual health. We have a wham-bam new way, and you can get spiritually healthy in 40 days. I'm telling you, 40 days of purpose, or 40 days of something else, or a week of this, or a month, or whatever. And it only takes 40 days to get spiritually fit, and fit forever, maybe. But when God's made it very clear and very simple that it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing, and it's a continuous thing. You know, there are no shortcuts to physical exercise and fitness, and there is certainly no shortcuts when it comes to spiritual fitness and health. There are no quick fixes. There are no once for all and no more problems ever after things that you can do. It is a slow process. It is a regular process. It is a consistent process of spiritual exercise that is needed. And if you are by nature a lazy person, if you are by nature someone who wants to get to the end without the hard work, this is not music to your ears. But this is a reality. Don't look at anyone who has grown in their Christian life and have matured spiritually and think it happened easily or think it happened quickly. It is a slow process, and it's a hard process. Yet as we exercise, as required, the Holy Spirit is then able to go to work, cleansing our heart, repairing our heart, strengthening our heart, protecting it from harmful things so we may grow strong in the Lord. You know, David the psalmist, we know, was a man after God's own heart. He had a heart in tune with God. God looked at his heart, I suspect, once he had matured and saw and loved what he saw. Yet this psalmist, being inspired by the Spirit of God in Psalm 1, tells us, if we want to be that strong Christian, like that strong towering tree, you have to be planted beside those rivers where you can suck up those nutrients on a daily basis. And that's why he says in Psalm 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's no alternative to spending time with God in his word. If you want to have a strong heart that is soft to the things of God, yet strong against the things that are wrong, you must spend time with him. Not once a month, not once a week, not even twice a week. It says here, day and night. If you want to get to your full potential, it's day and night. Not one day a week and one night a week. That's the extent that we need. We need to discipline ourselves to spend quality time with the Lord. And if you haven't been doing this, I can say quite confidently on the basis of the Word of God that your heart is sick and it's getting sicker. And you may not have noticed the adverse effects of it as yet, but as time goes on, you will notice you have a heart problem, a spiritual heart problem. It's basic stuff, but you can't get away from it. The Word of God tells us this exercise needs prayer. We're told to pray without ceasing. It's a regular thing. Pray night and day. Pray earnestly. You have a life without prayer, and I tell you what, you will have a cold heart. That's a part of the exercise. We need to meditate on the Word of God as well, where you know it because you've learnt it and you chew it over. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you." These are the simple exercises that our heart specialist has described. You know, have you ever gone to the doctor and you say, "What can I do about this?" And they tell you some real basic things and you think, "No, I want something more special than that." You know, I used to have a terrible sore neck. Incredibly sore neck. I was constantly sore. So I'd go to the physio and, "Can you fix it up?" And they say, "Yes, but you really need to get rid of the cause of it. And what you need to do is, because you're writing messages and you're bending over and you're putting all this strain on your neck and your head's heavy, and what you need to do is you have to start working on a computer so you can look straight ahead and have your head like that." And I used to go home and think, what a load of baloney. Just do something and fix my neck so it's better. This sitting straight, how ridiculous. Until I finally took their advice, and you know, it's amazing when you actually listen to them that things help. And my neck is nothing like it used to be. You see, you listen to the specialist, sometimes it seems real simple. But generally the simple things are what you need to hear. You're finding a bit stale in the Christian life? Well, how's your quiet time? How's your praying? How's your meditating on the things of God? Have you got the basic exercise right? If not, your heart can't be functioning the way it's meant to be. But there's another thing that our specialist tells us, and that is we need to watch what we eat. It doesn't take much research to discover that we have a terrible record with heart disease in our country. And although exercising is a very important part of making sure our heart doesn't suffer some attack, we are fighting a losing battle if we don't regulate what food we consume. Now, there's some basic things we know we shouldn't eat. I will give you the tip, don't eat rat poison because it'll kill you, all right? It's poison. There are plenty of poisons out there that if you eat it, it's going to kill you or it's going to make you really sick at least. And I relate that to sin. Sin kills the heart. Sin makes the heart very sick. So you feel like you're dead, and God has prescribed so many things we should not ingest or digest, whatever you want to put in your life, because it'll kill you spiritually. But we know with our own physical body there are plenty of things that we can eat that aren't poisonous. And they are fine to eat in moderation. But if that's all we consume, then in time it's going to have an adverse effect on us because there's very little nutrition involved in that food. They're not meant to live off. You know, I love chocolate. But if you live off it, that there's not a lot of nutrition. I know as a bachelor living away from home in Sydney and only living 50 metres away from McDonald's, I ate McDonald's probably 6 nights out of the 7. And then the 7th I probably went to KFC or somewhere like that, which is a bit of a change. And I'm telling you, no wonder I felt so sick and lethargic and it's beautiful. But I'm telling you what, we're not designed to live off junk food. They're there for treats, but there's not a lot of nutrition involved in it. And you know, when it comes to this world, God has given us so many treats to enjoy. There are so many things that aren't sinful. They are pleasures that God has given to us to enjoy, yet we are not to live for them and consume ourselves consistently with them because they don't have any eternal benefit. And too often the things that God has given us to enjoy in moderation becomes our whole purpose in life. There's nothing wrong with money. But when you start to live for money, where that's your passion, in time that's going to make your heart sick. There's nothing wrong with fun. Fun is fun, all right? It's good to have fun. But if that's all you consumed over, having fun, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. As long as it's fun, I will. I tell you what, there's not a lot of spiritual content in that, and your heart will suffer in time. There are lots of material things that God has blessed us with to enjoy while we are here on this earth. But there is no eternal value to them. Yet if that's all you live for, you will get very spiritually sick. And what happens is we end up worshipping the creation rather than the Creator. And it becomes our idol, so to speak. We consume things that have no eternal value and we end up being spiritually malnourished. God says where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And if your treasure is firmly fixed in fun, materialism, and that's all, your heart will be consumed in it and you'll have a sick heart, I'm telling you. That's why he says, set your affections on things above. Seek spiritual, heavenly things. Yes, there are things to enjoy, yet that should be our focus. But I tell you, if you start living like me as a bachelor and all you do is consume junk food, the junk food of this world that has no spiritual nutrition to it, you will get sicker by the day. And sadly, there are too many Christians, that's all they consume. The worthless things of this world that aren't sinful in themselves, yet have no spiritual benefit. What do you consume yourself with? I trust God and His Word has a major part of your life. But you know, God's Word also says we need to have a regular checkup. If you have a problem with your heart, it would be wise to go to regular checkups with the specialist. He will find things before they become a problem and help you. And the reality is we have a problem. Our heart gets infiltrated by so many sinful things in this world, we need regular checkups. And I believe that's why we don't just read God's Word, we ask God to search our heart and to know our thoughts, and to see if there is any sinful way in us. That's why it's good to come to church, where you hear the Word of God preached and you're challenged. Yet when you come, can I encourage you to ask God to search your heart and to speak to you? And the wisest thing to do is to listen when the Holy Spirit, that master physician of the heart, tells you you have a problem and pricks your heart. You know, when you avoid God's house and you avoid His preaching, when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart about something, yet you refuse to listen and to change your ways, it's only going to bring a hardening of your heart and bring sadness in the future. And so a regular checkup, accompanied with regular spiritual exercise and a disciplined eating habit, where you don't consume yourself with all the junk of the world, is what our heart specialist recommends. And if we listen to his advice, we can have a heart that is in tune with him. You know, I haven't met too many people with serious heart disease. Many of us would know Trevor Crosby. That poor man has, probably still does, have some serious heart disease. I remember being over there once. I spent a fair bit of time with him, but it was only when I spent time with him I realized how blessed I was to have a good heart. To do the simplest things wore him out. The fatigue of just getting up and walking to the other end of the house and back, he was fatigued. And I realized what a blessing to have a healthy heart. And you know, if you're feeling rather fatigued in the spiritual life, I suspect you have a heart problem. There is some disease there. I noticed that he was in a lot of pain as well, constantly having heart pain. And sometimes it was extreme, sometimes it was mild, but it was always there and affecting him, where I didn't have heart pain. And I realized what a blessing it is to have a healthy heart. Yet I tell you what, when we have our spiritual heart is not working well, there's a lot of pain that comes into our life. Our mind is tormented. Maybe our relationships are tormented. There's hurtful things in our life, and it generally stems from the condition of our heart. There's a lot of blessing that comes from having a good heart. And God wants us to have one. Because when He sees a person with one, He sees someone He can use. You know, in 2 Chronicles it says in chapter 16, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him." How's your heart tonight? Is it perfect toward Him? Have you had a checkup recently? Have you been doing the basic exercise that you ought to be doing? How much spiritual food do you eat compared to the junk food of this world? If you haven't been doing what you're meant to be doing, if it hasn't been seen yet, it will be soon. You have a problem with your heart that God wants you to fix. And we're going to see the benefits of having a good heart as we go through this series. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the God of all. You can do that miracle within us. You can take away that stony heart and give us a soft heart, dear Lord. Take away that sinful heart and give us a righteous heart. Lord, you can change us. And Lord, it changes every part of our being. I pray that we would seek that daily cleansing of our heart and mind through your word and allow your spirit to go to work. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.